President Bush has nominated John Bolton to be the next U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. The administration says he will be a, quote, strong voice at the world body. Many others have expressed concern about his longtime blunt criticism of the U.N. The nomination must be confirmed by the Senate, and yesterday Democrats and some Republicans signaled their dismay over John Bolton's nomination. Joining me now is Rachel Bronson. She's director of Middle East Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
John Bolton has quite often disparaged the United Nations. Why did the president choose him for this particular job?
Well, I think as the Secretary of State said, they clearly want a strong voice there. And apparently Bush very much trusts John Bolton. He's in good stead with the president. And the president's putting somebody in this position who will effectively represent him. And so I think that's actually important to this appointment, is that for all the controversy around it, and I think it's legitimate controversy, there is somebody now at the head of the UN who will be speaking for the president.
Well, I've just spoken about his criticism of the UN, but could you give us some examples? I mean, why is he such a polarizing figure?
Well, he's polarizing for a number of reasons, not least of all is some of the things that he said in the past. He's been very dismissive of the role of the United Nations. He is somebody who said that if 10 floors were missing from the United Nations, nobody would notice. And he's a very, very blunt speaker. He is not one who goes through the diplomatic niceties, which are very, very important to the UN process. And so from both what he says and how he engages the international community, if you will, it makes him very controversial for this post.
For the past 4 years, John Bolton has served as Undersecretary of State for Arms Control and International Security Affairs. What kind of record does he have? I mean, what does that say about what he might do in the future?
Well, I think another advantage, if you will, for the president putting him in this position is that he has been very focused on proliferation issues. He's been very focused on Iran. He's been very focused on the negotiations with Libya. He's been very focused on North Korea. And so this is clearly a high priority for this administration. These are hot issues now, whether it be Iran or North Korea. And so he's been very active as Undersecretary for Arms Control in the negotiations. Again, the North Koreans refused to negotiate with him at one point because of things he said about the North Koreans. But the issues that he's covered for the administration at the State Department are on the table for the agenda and on the table for the United Nations. One of the things that Jean Kirkpatrick has said about him is that while he may be able to do a diplomatic job, he is no diplomat. And I think that returns us back to the concerns that a lot of those on the Hill are voicing this morning.
Right. The North Koreans, for instance, called him, I think, not a human being.
Yeah, and I believe that he's called them something similar. And so when it came time to negotiate, he was not part of a delegation that went over. His office said he was never intending to go over. But he's not somebody that people are asking to come as part of the delegation. He becomes polarizing and controversial.
You know, interesting choice also at this moment in time. President Bush made a recent trip to Europe, put great emphasis on diplomacy at that point. So what is this message? Is it a mixed one?
It's absolutely a mixed message they're sending, and you'll see the response coming in from allies and others over the next couple of days, trying to figure out what the Bush administration message is and what they're trying to say. This is a very first-term appointment, if you will. In the first term, it was sort of go it alone. Well, if we're strong, others will follow, and we'll do what we need to do, and so the rest of them can figure out what they want. And then the second term, there seemed to be a lot of learning going on, which is others will follow the United States, but we have to give them reason to follow, and we have to sort of ratchet down the tone on occasion and try to find ways that we can work together. And this comes right back to a first-term appointment, if you will. You know, somebody who's close with the hardliners in the administration, folks that seem to be being downplayed in a second term or being revived.
Thank you very much. Rachel Bronson is Director of Middle East Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations.